Coming up next on Daddy on Board, Huggies take a cheap shot at dads. Is Google smarter than parents? And the pink slime oozes its way from the trending show into your kids' lunches. All that and more right around the corner. Our show sponsors Gazelle.com. Take over 250,000 different types of used consumer electronic goods off your hands. Get fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping when you visit our sponsors, Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show's sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Wireless technology truly is wireless when you visit our friends over at PowerMat Technologies. Discover all the different wireless charging solutions that await you when you visit our show sponsor at PowerMat.com. Hello, parents, new, expectant, and possibly hesitant. My name is Mike Quackenbush. Welcome to Daddy on Board 80. This is a parenting podcast served up to you by the likes of me. I've gone throughout the parentosphere this past week and culled together all the top stories for you, and I will serve them up to you starting right now. The Washington Post and a number of other sources as well covered the backlash against diaper industry giants Huggies this past week in response to their new ad campaign called The Dad Test, which some feel portray fathers as being inept and hapless. Now, in a somewhat paper-thin rebuttal to petitions and open letters and blogs calling for this campaign to be yanked, Huggies posted on their Facebook page that the ad is actually intended to, quote, celebrate, unquote, fathers. So I went out and I watched this ad, did I? Yes, I did. And let me just tell you that, as a semi-inept parent myself, and more importantly, a podcaster that started a show intended to give fathers a voice, I'd like to say that I disagree all around. I do not think that this is a giant affront to fatherhood. It is, at worst, a poorly written, poorly worded commercial. But Huggies, I disagree with your claim that it celebrates fathers as well. False. Nothing about this ad celebrates fatherhood. Your rebuttal suffers from the same poor word choice as the ad itself does. Do we need open letters and blogs and petitions and all this about the way in which these 30 seconds insult and undermine our ability to be engaged fathers in 2012? Yeah, sure. Everyone is entitled to rant when they feel like it, especially me. I don't know why the girl at the Starbucks on the turnpike pencils in her eyebrows with a red magic marker. I don't know why it is that no matter what time I leave for training in the afternoon, the traffic always prevents me from getting tater tots at Sonic. I hate when the cat lady who rolled herself in soggy cigarette butts stands too close to me at the post office. But those things bother me for about 30 seconds each, the same amount of time as this Huggies commercial. And then, life goes on. This is far from the worst thing out there about fathers, and we've already spent more than enough time talking about it. A new study was issued this week by Birmingham Science City, which to me sounds like a bubble utopia. Like, I don't know, Atlantis or something. This new study from Birmingham Science City says that 54% of children would rather have their questions answered by Google the search engine, as opposed to, I don't know, Google the troll that lives in your town, than by their parents or teachers. Is there anyone surprised by this news? There's a new invention called the internet, where pretty much everything you could ever want to know, except the actual name of the guy that sings the Mask cartoon theme song for some reason, is a mouse click away. Loyal Dob Bobber Craig Johnson checked in with us over on our Facebook fan page. He had this to say about this story. Why would it be a problem? Kids these days are told the answers to too many things instead of trying to figure them out for themselves. Everyone knows one of those people who asks questions constantly instead of just taking 5 seconds and trying to figure out things, even just going and looking it up on the internet. This is how teaching kids to go find answers, to go find answers out. Think of how old the average print dictionary or encyclopedia is in your house. There's no sense in looking in those either. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Craig. A lot of these reference materials that we have are woefully out of date. They're out of date by the time they're printed and delivered and show up at your door. I don't even know. Do people get encyclopedias delivered anymore? I don't even know how you'd get one, other than eBay, maybe. What I found interesting about this study were, a few things. One, almost half of the children studied, about 45%, they've never used an encyclopedia. A fifth of them have never used a dictionary. They even asked the children what they thought this encyclopedia device might be, and they said that they thought it might be something used for travel or something used to perform an operation. Nothing about this study surprises me. We live in a digital age, and children We're going to have digital technology with them for the rest of their lives, even though my generation and generations that preceded mine did not. This is the way of the future. They have an array of information that will be their resource forevermore. And to think that they should not be engaged by that at as young an age as possible, I think, is a naive, close-minded thought. There's one more story here I want to tell you about real quickly, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. I've got some other stuff I want to tell you about before we get to your little victories. This is about a JetBlue flight that got grounded due to a toddler's temper tantrum. And this was really making the rounds. This one popped up in several places where I poke my nose during the week. One of my favorite places to pull content from is a blog site called Stroller Derby. I always like to mention them by name anytime I'm ripping them off. There's one contributor over there, probably not a dub bobber, Meredith Carroll, who may in fact be the antimatter universe version of me, based on her unerring career of always being wrong. This story involves a 2-year-old, Natalie, who would not stay in her seat during the taxi out to the runway, and then on the advice of his flight crew, the JetBlue pilot decided to turn his plane around and had the family removed. They were attempting to fly back home to Boston. Because that was the last flight out for the night, they had to rebook their flights. They ended up spending a night in a hotel. All of this, they state, cost them an additional $2,000. This quote was then issued by JetBlue regarding the situation. They wrote, "Flight 850 had customers that did not comply with crew member instructions for a prolonged time period. The captain elected to remove the customers involved for the safety of all customers and crew members on board." Now, over at Stroller Derby, blogger Meredith Carroll went on to write about this affair. She says, "The safety of all customers and crew members on board was in jeopardy because of a toddler's temper tantrum? Please," she writes with italics, "it sounds like the family was dealing with a toddler's tantrums, but in actuality, the flight crew's tantrum was a lot worse. Maybe flight crews should take parenting classes in addition to all the other training they have to do." She concludes, "JetBlue, fail." Well, I happen to think this is Meredith Carroll's soapbox, fail. You weren't on the plane, Meredith, and you don't have to work in the airline industry, where every detail is micromanaged by a crazed post-9/11 paranoia that makes everything about travel essentially unbearable. I know, because I've flown with my 2-year-old. You see, the fly in the ointment here is not the flight attendant's or the pilot's reaction, but the family that cannot control their 2-year-old. Now, do they deserve to be out $2,000? No. Do they get a free pass because you're a sympathetic mommy blogger? No. You want an airline more sensitive to the needs of a family? Well, then put together a Kickstarter campaign over in your antimatter universe, and I'll be the first person to donate 5 antimatter bucks to it. I promise. That's all I have to say about that. If ever there was a time to take a few minutes and head around your house rounding up all the used electronics that you don't use, like cell phones and MP3 players, old GPS devices, video game accessories, and everything else, that time is now. Take a minute and go over and visit gazelle.com. That's GAZELLE.com, our great and long-standing show sponsor, and have them make you an offer for these goods. Convert them into cash, whether you're thinking about upgrading right now. Of course, the big announcement for iPad 3 has got everybody talking about upgrading their gadget. Well, this is a great time to unload your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, your MacBook, your Super Robot 7S, whatever the case might be. Head over there, find out what it's worth. You'll get paid fast. Remember, all the goods that are worth more than a dollar qualify for free shipping from gazelle.com. So take just 1 minute, find out what those goods are worth, and turn them into cold, hard cash when you're checking out over at gazelle.com. Please make sure to tell them you heard about them from us here at Grizzly Productions. All right, I've got a couple more news stories I want to serve up to you here before we talk about some other blogosphere-type stuff. And, of course, your little victory is coming up at the end of the program. Now, kind of related to the previous piece we're talking about, the family that was kicked off the JetBlue flight, this is somewhat relevant. Have you heard of nannyintheclouds.com? No? Well, I'll tell you about it. You can hire a nanny to travel with you if you need an extra set of hands the next time you're traveling, right? I know, you know, traveling with little ones can be more than a handful. Maybe what you really need is just a little extra help. Well, that's exactly what nannyintheclouds.com is all about. Now, the service is going to charge you $10, parents, to connect you with the nanny. And then after that, it's up to you to negotiate all the terms, what you're going to pay them for the time, how you're going to arrange the travel, and everything else. But if you think your next vacation might be simplified or all around stress reduced by making use of the services of a nanny, well, then you might want to investigate nannyintheclouds.com. We had this posted up on our Facebook fan page where some loyal Dob Bobbers checked in, including Marie, who wrote, "This is not a new service. My mom always hired a flight attendant to care for us when I was little, and that was back in the early 80s. And on some further follow-up, that Marie says that, yes, her mom arranged this with the airline. I've never heard of this. I was dumbfounded upon reading this, Marie, that your mother could just arrange such things with the airline. If you have more information on how that's possible, would you please send it over to us?" Michelle Thompson also checked in on her Facebook fan page. Thanks, Michelle. She writes, "I would do this in a heartbeat. We just got back from Mexico, and a 5.5-hour flight with a 17-month-old was a trial in patience. I feel your pain. I feel your pain." Also, Royal Dob Bobber Jim Dutcher checked in with this. He says, "Not just for the flight, but for the entire vacation. Young kids stay with a vacation nanny doing kid-friendly things, and the grown-ups will be doing adult-friendly things." I think you're onto something there, Jim. I think you are. Hey, a story that was, this one probably more than any other story I came across, and I'm not just saying that because I also covered it over on The Trending Show this past week, another podcast that I host. It publishes every Sunday through the Grizzly Productions Network at grizzlyproductions.tv. But the pink slime. Do you know what I'm talking about, the pink slime? Have you heard this story? I'll tell you about it. The reason that this is making the rounds is because the U.S. Department of Agriculture, our friends over at the USDA, told The Daily that it will buy 7 million more pounds of what is commonly called the pink slime for school lunch programs across the country. And as you can imagine, there are some people a little bit outraged over this. This is the reaction to every story, right? Now, part of this is because recently, just in the last couple months, I'm not exactly sure when, due to a lot of pressure from celebrity chef Jamie Oliver, a lot of the big fast food giants, including McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, and some others, have decided they would not use the pink slime in any food. Now, of course, to hear it phrased like that, you might imagine, oh, well, how much is that really, you know, out there? Well, more than you think. Which is really what's crazy about this. This pink slime, so to speak, it consists of beef byproducts, including but not limited to cow intestines, connective tissue, and other parts that are not used in traditional beef cuts. Now, the problem with these parts, other than they don't exactly have the nutritional value of ground beef for starters, the other thing is that they're far more susceptible to E. coli and contamination from salmonella. So, the last ingredient that's added to this pink slime is ammonium hydroxide, which is used to kill the bacteria. So, of course people are saying, why is it that all the fast food giants are swearing off this, but the USDA is saying that it's still okay for the National School Lunch Program? Well, the USDA came out with a statement. As you can imagine, people are not happy about this. They said, "This includes stringent pathogen testing and compliance with all applicable food safety regulations. The USDA would only allow products into commerce, or especially into schools, that we have confidence are safe." Now, one thing that's interesting to note here is that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, considers ammonia to be a processing agent. And because of this type of classification, it is not required to be listed on any food label. That, of course, will also cover ammonium hydroxide, the compound ammonium hydroxide, which is a type of ammonia. So even though Nine Health reporter Dr. John Torres says the ammonia does not cause a major health risk to our bodies, in fact, he's really more concerned about the possibility that E. coli and salmonella could continue to persist in these beef byproducts despite having been treated by the chemical. Dr. John continues to advocate, of course, being a smart label reader, but also doing your homework, people, so that you know what is up with this stuff here. The plant that produces the pink slime, as it's known, which is, it must be a B-movie coming to a theater near you. They're called Beef Products Incorporated. They estimate that its ammonia-based product is used in 70% of the ground beef sold in the United States. However, that number is expected to decrease significantly this year due to the change from the fast food chains. As I mentioned, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, and others have decided effective this year that they would stop using it. I don't know about you, but I am always on the go. I'm traveling during the week, I'm traveling on the weekends, I'm going to other countries, I am all over the place. And when I travel, it seems like I'm always in a scramble to pack up everything I need and get going, and invariably something gets left behind. Well, one thing I never have to worry about taking on the road with me anymore are all the device chargers that I have, because I've got one for my phone, I've got one for my iPod, I've got one for my tablet device, I've got one for my Super Robot 7S. I don't have to worry about any of that anymore, because I have the PowerMat Dual 1850 backup battery. This thing will charge multiple devices at once, and because it's completely wireless, once I've got this thing all set to go, I never have to worry about taking a charger with me. It's incredibly easy to set up, and the convenience of it, one of the things I like most of all, is that I never have to worry when I'm going international if I've got one of the right converters so that I can take advantage of the sockets over there. PowerMat's got me covered, and they've got you covered too. They've got a wireless charging solution that is right for you. Why don't you go over right now and see our friends at PowerMat.com? They've got a world of exciting new stuff, especially since partnering with Duracell, headed your way. Check them out. Our show sponsors at PowerMat.com. All right. Well, I went surfing through the blogosphere this past week and culled actually a pair of pieces that I saw in the popular New York Times column that publishes online called Motherload. One of the pieces that was published over there in particular, and I saw this story a lot of places, I saw actually on a couple newscasts as well, was about the childhood hazard of stairs. You may have seen this as well. All the articles seem to be using a much repeated statistic regarding stairs, which has come out recently. That is to say, on average, every 6 minutes, a young child is treated in an emergency room for a stair-related accident. And what I saw this echoed at the New York Times, also in some newscasts and everything else, was this. The statistic is, I believe, that 2/3 of new homes are built such that the types of wall-mounted, like I want to say they're like pressure-mounted gates to protect children, of course, from taking tumbles downstairs. They're not designed for these. The new houses are designed so that these don't work. I mean, even though these are the most common kind that you'll find in stores, and you may have gone through this, I know this is certainly the case of some of the staircases in my own house, that those pressure-mounted stair gates do not work based on what you have there at the top of the stairs. And as I said, the statistic going around was that 2/3 of new homes are built that way. So what everyone seems to be asking, isn't the logical thing to do here then to have new home designs that might have, like, detachable, attractive stair gates installed as part of the original construction as an option? Because it certainly would seem as if that is a big gap right now in the market that might be really useful, especially based on the study that was published in the journal Pediatrics that followed a ridiculous number of cases. It was something like 932,000 children under the age of 5 that had these accidents, or what they're calling stair-related injuries. So of course, it was in the New York Times. It was a bunch of other places as well. But also, this very, very recently, I think it was the same week, over at Motherload, which is it's written by the same author. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But also raised the issue about children needing to do chores. And in particular, cites an interesting example about the Wall Street Journal's piece, Field Guide to the Middle Class. According to this, a 5-year-old in Peru's Amazon region climbs trees to harvest papayas and hauls logs, oftentimes thicker than their own legs, in order to stoke a fire. That's what a 5-year-old in Peru does. The author contrasts this against, I think it is her own 8-year-old in Los Angeles, who can't tie their own shoes. What the author is raising here is the idea that there needs to be not just greater structure, but greater contribution from the younger members of a household. And of course, there are tons and tons of examples in other societies outside of the United States. Or that's not to say you have to be in the U.S. to listen to this podcast, but you cannot be from Spain or Portugal. As it relates to the way that the household functions, and even allowing at times for the fact that chores may sometimes not be as well done if you were to do them yourself, it is important to impart both responsibility and accountability to your children through this process. Anthropologist Eleanor Oakes offers up that kids are typically oblivious to what their parents' perspectives might be. I certainly know this, as I once had experience as a child myself. However, it's incumbent on us to try and alter that and to try and divide things up within reason so that everyone contributes to the household at large. So certainly this raises an interesting issue. I'm curious to know. You can check in over on our Facebook fan page. That's where. You have to put it there. I can't find it on yours. Or you can tweet me about it. I'm at TheDaddyOnBoard. You can stick it somewhere so we can find it. I'd like to know, are your children old enough to handle chores? And if so, how do you go about that delegation process? And perhaps the real sticking point here is, when the chores don't get done, then what? Because certainly, as the author of Motherload puts out there, that sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself when it's ignored, and then the consequences become moot to the children. So how do you deal with that in your own house? I would like to know. I also happen to read a blog by Rebecca Wolfenden that was posted up over on empoweringparents.com. There's a number of great blogs over there. Rebecca, in particular, blogged about this story. Otherwise, I didn't catch this at all. It was a very interesting story. Maybe because the child's a little bit older. Typically, we talk about younger children here on the program. But nevertheless, an interesting parent-related story about the dad in Florida whose son, failing three classes but is generally regarded as the class clown, he chose, essentially, I think, to humiliate him by making him stand at a busy intersection with a sign on explaining that he's failing the three classes. This was sort of a last-ditch effort on the part of his father to prevent his, as he says, to prevent his son from becoming a statistic. This story otherwise, I would not have caught this, so I'm grateful that I saw this piece by Rebecca Wolfenden over on empoweringparents.com, a great website and great resource, by the way, if you want to check that out. Rebecca puts forth the idea here that while certainly we can all empathize with the frustration of a parent who feels like they're down to their last nerve with something like this, the issue that arises, she says, is using shame as a punishment, and therefore little accountability is gained. This, I think, hits the nail really right on the head as it relates to this story, even more elegantly than some of the newscasts managed to cover it. It's interesting here that the son, after having endured this, says, when I get back to school, I'm going to do better. But of course, that is what James Lehman calls, he refers to that as just wishful thinking, and that the child thinks things will get better just because he or she wants them to get better. The bigger issue is, how is this change going to happen? How are you going to affect that? What are the causes behind this, and how can we go about changing the way that we react to them and the way that that ultimately impacts the result? It's that kind of stuff that will probably most likely lead to real results. I thought that was put forth very eloquently in this piece. So if you missed this news story or you're interested to read a little bit more about this, as I said, even though it seems like related to dealing with older children, nevertheless, a very relevant and timely blog over on empoweringparents.com. Okay. If you're looking for the lyrics to Zartan and the Dreadnoughts' song Cold Slither, you will not find that over at Cobra.com, but you will find a world of information from the industry leaders when it comes to radar, laser, and red light detection, our friends and show sponsors over at Cobra Electronics. They've got a world of good, of all kinds of goods, really, to make your driving experience safer all around. And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they do over at Cobra. I want to tell you very briefly about something of theirs that's meant for professional drivers, as we're well aware here in the podosphere. It's frequent commuters that are oftentimes out there in our audience, loyal Dob Bobbers. And you should find out a little bit more about the 7750 Platinum Navigation System, which is meant for professional drivers. They offer this over at Cobra. It comes with all kinds of enhanced graphics. It's got junction view with lane assist, a great state mileage log, tons of other great features for the professional drivers out there, like you, Dob Bobbers, who are on the road all the time. And I'm certainly on the road all the time. Sometimes I'm traveling by myself, and it's for times like that I most appreciate the great system they've invented called the Cobra iRadar, which gives me real up-to-date driving hazard information. And because I can make it very loud, because I can customize it however I want to get all the alerts that I need, it makes me a safer and more alert driver, especially late at night when I desperately need coffee. So thanks to our show sponsors, Cobra.com, for these great innovations. Go over and check them out. You'll see not just the radar detectors, not just the GPS navigation, not just the CB radios and all the other types of electronic goods, but all the great stuff that our friends at Cobra are up to. Go visit them at Cobra.com. Well, all right, kids, we're in the home stretch now. But before I get to your little victories, I wanted to tell you really quickly about something that I was actually the recipient of. I was the recipient of a gift that was made by a website and a company as well that does personalized children's books. They're called I See Me. You can go over to iseeme.com, spelled out like the words, not like the letters, and check it out. They've got, I don't know, a dozen or more probably different types of books that you can personalize for your child. You can have their name put right in it. You can have, in some of the books, not all of them, you can have their photo put right into the book. You know, they're entirely customizable so that it's unique to your kid. And it might, especially if you've got a child who otherwise doesn't particularly seem to enjoy being read to. But of course, you know the value in trying to get your children interested in reading and books. This might offer you a very interesting avenue to grab their attention. Head on over to iseeme.com. You'll see they've got all kinds of themes to them. They've got fairy tale books, pirate books, stuff about having a big brother coming into the household, a big sister. And they've also got some that are like special occasion type stuff too, for like Christmas, Hanukkah, Easter, etc., that type of stuff. You can even check all the books out. A lot of them they have set up right on their website, what they call a virtual book tour. You can kind of flip right through what some of the books are and see, you know, these are the ones where, you know, your child's photo gets put right into the book, or these are the ones where they put the child's name into the story, that kind of thing. But check it out. It might offer to you an interesting gift option upcoming. Not like you ever need an excuse to spoil your kids by giving them something new, but check out their line of customizable books. And they're fairly reasonable. I think you'd spend maybe $20 or $30 to have a book customized specifically for your kid. And if, like me, you've occasionally bought like those giant hard cardboard style books that have like 4 pages in them and yet somehow still cost $11 or $12, I would very gladly pay $20 or $30 to have a book that seemed actually worth that amount of money. So check them out. Maybe you will dig iseeme.com. I know I certainly do. And so it is time we have a good batch of your little victories that I will serve up to you. Thanks for dropping these off. Some came to us via the magic of Twitter, including this one from T. Leaders, who writes to me at the Daddy on Board. That's where I am. My newborn son Liam finally slept for 4 straight hours last night, and thus, so did my wife and I. That one's a lot bigger than just a little victory, but thanks for using the hashtag little victories, so we found it easily enough, and congratulations. Over on Twitter as well, Y Silver writes to me, finally pronouncing truck with T-R-U and not a C-O before the C-K. Probably diminishes some awkward situations when you're at the grocery store, I imagine. Well done, and thanks for using the hashtag little victories as well. Todd, hang on for a sec. I want to make sure I get this right. Santanacita? I hope I got that right. Todd's dad now. That's not just a little victory. That's big. That's a big deal. Just became a dad. What do I do now? We'll try to help you with this podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. I can't offer you much other than that. Loyal Dob Bobber and a frequent checker inner, Jim Dutcher, sent us a cool photo. This must have been from Facebook. After a long day at work, it sure is nice to come home and see this. His kids left a chalk drawing on the driveway that said, I love you, Dad. And it looks like there are fireworks around Dad. I know that's a little subjective, Jim, but what I take away from it is there's meant to be fireworks around Dad. Also, this one I think from Google Plus, Howard Suissa, I didn't have kids for the win. That's not a little victory. That's a huge life decision, Howard. That's a big deal. A lot of big deals. Maybe what we'll do is we'll start to contrast little victories against big deals to give us a better sense of the scale, the scope of things. Last but not least, Jason Batista checked in with us and said, had the little one, 1.5 months, come to work with mom and had our first lunch out with the little one at a sit-down restaurant. No major meltdowns, and we were able to finish the meal. And that's a huge victory. You finished a meal out in public without the... that's a really big deal, Jason. Don't undersell that one. A lot of large victories today. These were big deals. Jim, we're going to bring in a totally different set of music there. Everything's going to be different in post. Big deals. That's what we're going to put there. I'd be delighted to read your little victories if you send them to me. Put them on our Facebook fan page, over on Twitter. Check in with us about all of this week's stories. I'd love to hear your feedback. Also, you can come and see me live. You know, I keep myself kind of busy. In fact, not long after you hear this, I will be wrestling. I'm going to be up in Canada. I'll be just outside Toronto in the greater Toronto area. I'll also be in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, upcoming. In the month of April, you can catch me all over the place. I'll be in Philadelphia. I'll be in Lafayette, Indiana. I'll be in Chicago, Illinois. I'll be in Rahway, New Jersey. Tons of other places. Every place I go, you'll find listed over at chikarapro.com. I would love to meet you in person, loyal Dob Bobbers. So check in with me online, come see me in person, and then be back here next week, as I am likely to produce a podcast that will be titled Daddy on Board 81. Until then, adios, my friends.